All right, so here we go. The start of a new reading cycle, Bereshit, the first portion, creation. And it looks so promising to begin with, right? We always look forward to new things. We're looking forward to new creation. And most of us read through these first couple of verses of Bereshit and just buzz right through them because we know something good is going to happen right after it. But look what it says in Genesis 1:1 through 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was chaos and waste. Darkness was on the surface of the deep, and the Ruach Elohim was hovering over the surface of the water. Man, we only get two verses into the whole book. Two verses, and all of a sudden there's chaos. There's waste. There's darkness. Wow, what a downer. You know, we're looking forward to a great start, and all of a sudden we're told all this chaos. This chaos in the world, even before the world was. There seems to have been chaos. But we're called to keep moving in the narrative. We're not told to stop there. And you know, in life, many times, we want to just stop at the chaos. We want to dwell in our lives of chaos. We just, you know, oh, whoa, this. We just want to, what's going on? And we just stand there like deers in the headlights when chaos comes. But we're called to keep moving. We're told the Ruach Elohim or the Ruach HaKodesh is right there also with us. That should give us the emphasis to move. That should give us the power and the joy to move on, even during the chaos. We know as we read not to dwell, not to stay there, to get moving, because God's going to be doing great things after that. And for many of us, we just skip over the words, oh, it's chaos, okay, fine, blah, blah, blah. But in our lives, sometimes that chaos seems to want to just overwhelm us. It wants to take over. It wants to take control. We're feeling stuck in that chaos and that darkness. Well, today I want to speak about chaos in our lives, living through the chaos, how to overcome the chaos. Now, in the King James Version, it uses the words without form and void instead of chaos and waste. It sounds a little nicer, right? Without form and void. Now, in Hebrew, the words there are tohu vavohu. So let's break that down. Tohu is the first word. And it means waste, desolation, desert, worthless, vain, just a waste. And vohu, the second word, undistinguishable ruin, emptiness, void. For many, the Hebrew thought of chaos is that there was chaos until Adonai came on the scene and created. And then his word destroyed the forces of chaos. Now I know that those of us here are believers that Adonai created everything. It wasn't just that he stumbled onto this chaos. He created it. Which makes me think, Adonai created it, so was it really void? Was it really chaos that was just out of control? Because I believe everything that Adonai creates has a purpose. Everything he's able to use for his good. So, yeah, he created the chaos, but there was more to it than that. Now, in Bereshit, we look back on the beginning of history of the earth. We see there's always been this chaos. Always chaos in the world. It doesn't matter the date. It doesn't matter the circumstances. In biblical times, the chaos in the world was volcanoes and diseases and earthquakes and armies and dictators, pharaohs and kings, all this kind of stuff. Now, it's abortion, it's murder rates, it's wars, and all that other stuff didn't go away. We still have all of that too. The chaos just seems to be adding on to itself, piling on. Regardless what the world looks like or the age of the world, there always was, always will be chaos in the world. And that's why, as believers, we can't concentrate on the chaos. What we can concentrate on instead is the light in the world. And that's what we're called to do. When Yeshua lived on the earth in his bodily form, in his flesh, there was chaos, but he lived through it. And all that time, he gave glory to Adonai, even through all the chaos that was going on while he lived here in the flesh. And in reality, he didn't even fight the chaos. He pointed to Adonai as the light and then became the light for us to get us through the chaos. Not that really to destroy the chaos, just to get us through it. Because that's what Adonai does. That's what Yeshua does. He is the light. And regardless of what our struggles are these days, he's the way through the chaos. Regardless of how big or how small your struggle is today, regardless of how big or small that chaos is, he's the way to get through it. So I've got steps. I've got 7 steps to know in order to get through the chaos. 7 things to do and to know. Now, perhaps you know them already, and you just need to be reminded. Maybe you know most of them. There's 1 or 2 new ones. We'll see. The first one, know that Adonai is Lord. Know Yeshua is the Lord. Now, when Peter and the other apostles were arrested and called before the Sanhedrin, this is what they said about Yeshua in Acts 5:30. The God of our fathers raised up Yeshua, whom you seized and had crucified, the one God exalted at his right hand as leader and savior, to give repentance to Israel and removal of sin. And we are witnesses to these events as the Ruach HaKodesh, whom God has given to those who obey him. They said Yeshua was sent by Adonai as the leader and savior, not just for them, but for the whole world, not just for that time, but for all time, to be the repentance of Israel, the removal of sin for all of us. And it's the same Yeshua then as today. Therefore, we can depend upon him today just like they depended upon him then. He is our leader and savior. He leads us through the fears. He leads us through this chaos, the chaos that the world just keeps trying to throw at us. He's the reason we can stand strong, even when we don't feel strong, even when we're in the midst of the chaos of the world. He's the light in that darkness. But we have to open ourselves up to that light and the truth of who he is. Now, this was the explanation that the apostles gave of who Yeshua is right after they left them, right after he left them. And it's also the explanation that King David gave of how he stayed strong even in the chaos of his life. In Psalm 27, David explained his strength this way. Adonai is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? Adonai is the stronghold of my life. Whom should I dread? When evildoers approach me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my foes, they stumble and fell. Now, in the Tree of Life version of this psalm, the title is, Let Your Heart Take Courage. It was written as an encouragement from King David, as a way of saying, Adonai's done it before, he's doing it for me now, and he'll do it for you forever. And King David wrote it for you, so that you'll know that Adonai will take you through the chaos. You see, King David was saying, hey, it's not just true about me because I'm a king. And Peter was saying, it's not just true about us because we're apostles. Adonai is not a respecter of people, of person. So it's true for you today as well. As long as we call on his name, we can take that same courage that David had, the same courage that Peter had, and run with it through the chaos and know that he will be there with us. Now, the second thing we need to know is nothing separates us from Adonai. Nothing. It's a truth that we hear over and over again, especially if you come into the synagogue on a regular basis. It's said over and over again. It's said in the liturgy. It's said in our prayers. It's said from here in the pulpit. But do we put them into practice? Do we put that word into practice in our life? Psalm 2 says this about taking... In Psalm 2, we're again told of chaos, but also the steadfastness of Adonai. So Psalm 2, 1 and 2 says this, Why are the nations in an uproar, and the peoples murder vanity? The kings of earth set themselves up, and rulers conspire together against Adonai and against his anointed one. In other words, there's always going to be chaos in the world. Therefore, there's always going to be chaos in our lives. But that does not mean that chaos rules over our lives or can separate us from the love and protection that is Adonai. Regardless what kind of chaos is in the world that the world throws at us, we need to know there's no power behind it that overcomes Adonai. And his plans prosper. His being Adonai's, not Satan's. His plans prosper every single time. Here's what Rav Shaul says about the powers of the world. In Romans 8:38 says this, For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is Messiah Yeshua, our Lord. Shaul says there's nothing that can separate us. Nothing. Doesn't matter who's trying to bring it to us. Angels, fallen angels, can't do it. Powers of the world, can't do it. Heights, depths, doesn't matter. Nothing separates us. It's all created by God. And none of it was created to separate us from Him. That's the comfort that we have in who he is, in his power. Doesn't matter if it's raging around us. He's above it all. The third thing that we have to know, we have to know that we're citizens of heaven and not of earth. Amen. Citizens of heaven, not of earth. It's very important to know who we are. It's very important to know who we belong and where we belong. The promise is not for this life that we have now. Our promise is for the life to come. That's every one of those promises that he makes is really for the life to come, not just for right now. This is just a way station. This is temporary. Adonai and his presence is eternity. That's where we're called to. In Philippians, we're told this about our citizenship. Philippians 3:20. For our citizenship is in heaven, and from there we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. From there we eagerly wait for the Savior. Our citizenship is in heaven. Everything is there, and we're just looking forward to getting there. That's what this life is about. You know, we live our life as best we can, but we're looking forward to there, because that's where we're a citizen of. Regardless of where you go in the world, as long as you have an American passport, you can get back here. Regardless of where you are spiritually, as long as you are a citizen of heaven, that's where you're going to end up. That's where you can get to. We wait here and now because this is not where we're spending eternity. That's what the word wait means. If this was where we were going to be forever, we wouldn't have to wait. We wait because we're called to an eternal heaven, for a permanent residency before his throne. The chaos around us now is temporary. And we can live through it. You know, it's like renting a car. I got to tell you, sometimes I rent a car, it's smaller than the car I have that I normally drive. It may be a little tinnier, a little cheaper than the car I normally drive, but I can get through it because I know it's temporary. I can get through this life because I know it's temporary. I can get through this life because I know my Cadillac is waiting for me. When we get to heaven, that's when we get our Cadillac. It's not at home, honey. Look forward to the greatness that's coming. This is what Peter writes in his second letter. When he says this, 2 Peter 2:9, he says, therefore the Lord certainly knows how to rescue the godly from trials and how to keep the unrighteous being punished until the day of judgment. What is the therefore, therefore? Right? The word it started with, therefore the Lord certainly knows. Why is that therefore, therefore? Peter actually just listed out a couple of examples of Adonai rescuing the godly from trials so that they would not be destroyed with the ungodly. He started out with the list of angels who were thrown out of heaven, but not all the angels, only the ones who fell with Satan. Then he listed out Noah, who did not die in the flood with everybody else. Then he listed Lot, who was rescued from Sodom and Gomorrah. And he lists all these so that we would know that Adonai knows how to rescue. how to rescue the righteous while the unrighteous are punished. We're called to be the righteous. We're called to be the rescued. So why do we see unrighteousness and chaos around us all the time? Because he's long-suffering and he wants to give each a chance to accept the atonement of the blood of Yeshua. That's his love to the world. So the fourth thing that we need to know, the fourth out of seven, we went through that Yeshua Adonai is the Lord, that nothing separates us from Adonai, that we know we're citizens of heaven, and the fourth thing is know that we're not in control. He is. He's the one in control. Now, this may sound obvious, but it's easier said than done, isn't it? People look around and they want to be in control. They don't want to have to go through the things they have to go through. They want to be in control and they want to steer around them. They don't want to go through the chaos. They don't want the consequences of their own actions. Look what it says in Proverbs 16. Commit whatever you do to Adonai, and your plans will succeed. Adonai works everything out for his own purpose, even the wicked for the day of disaster. Notice what it says there. Put that back up just for a moment, please. At the end, Adonai works everything out for his own purpose, even the wicked for the disaster, for the day of disaster. It does not say he creates the disaster for the wicked. He said he creates the wicked for the day of disaster. He uses the wicked on that day of disaster. Why does the wicked have to be? Why does the chaos have to be? So that he could use it on the day of disaster. Everything is for his use. But we can't allow that wickedness to affect us. That's not what it's there for. It's not to affect us. He has a plan. And the plan is to use the wicked. The plan is to use the chaos against the unrighteous, not against the righteous. How he's going to use it? Not our concern. Not in our job description to know. When will it happen? Don't know. How is it going to play out? I don't know. You don't know. He knows because he's in charge. He's in control. That's all who need to know. Even the wicked don't know. Now, we can and should try to bring salvation to the wicked. That's part of our job description. That's who we're supposed to be. Because if we can pull them out of being wicked, they have that life forever, for eternity. That feeling that we deserve something different, that we deserve something better, well, that cannot be our concern, really. We're told to have a different concern. What is that concern? Salvation for a lost and dying world. It's not that we can bring it for them, but we can present it to them so that they can accept it. That's what we're called to do. Now, maybe we need to present it, not individually, but maybe believers as a whole needed to present it to someone three times before they accept it. Maybe they need to hear it 10 times before they accept it. I remember hearing a statistic lots of years ago, and I don't know whether it's true, I've never heard it before or after, that someone needs to hear the good news 17 and a half times on average before they accept. 17 and a half times, that's a lot of times. But it doesn't mean you're going to do it 17 and a half times, but you might be the 17th time that they accept, and they accept it when you speak it. You might be the first time before that they've heard it. So they're not going to accept it with you, but you're sowing the seed, you're watering the seed, and that's okay. Your job description is to keep giving it out. Lost my place. Ah! It comes down to a Polish saying. Maybe you've known this saying before. It's fairly new to me. Not my circus, not my monkeys. Not my circus, not my monkeys. Adonai created the circus. They're his monkeys. I'll leave them to handle the monkeys, the chaos, the confusion that goes on around the world, the wicked. They're his monkeys. I don't need to feed them. I don't need to handle them. I don't even need to be bit by them. Consequences were never part of my job description, never part of your job description. This is why Yeshua said in Matthew 24:6, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must happen, but it is not yet the end." Chaos, wars, rumors, they're always going to be around. Are the rumors real? Are the rumors just that, just rumors? Doesn't matter, we're not called to be alarmed. Yeshua says again in John 14:27, he says, "Shalom I leave you, my shalom I give you, but not as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled or afraid." Yeshua gives what? Shalom. Peace. Not chaos. Calmness. So our job description is, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be afraid. Don't let your heart live in that chaos. That's not for you. So the fifth thing we need to know, Adonai uses the chaos to reset and restore. And we spoke a little bit about that. We touched on it. There's a reason for the wickedness. There's a reason for the chaos. He's got a reason. We don't always know the reason, but he's got the reason for the chaos around us. And we just need to let him have his time and his plan. Not all chaos is bad. At least not for the righteous, not than I. This goes back to that third point that I made earlier, that there are times that Adonai uses chaos, and the use is to reset or restore the world. The flood is the story of Adonai resetting the world. Genesis 6:5. Then Adonai saw that the wickedness of humankind was great on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of their hearts was only evil all the time. So Adonai regretted that he made humankind on the earth, and his heart was deeply pained. So Adonai said, "I will wipe out humankind whom I have created from the face of the ground, from humankind to livestock, crawling things and flying creatures of the sky, because I regret that I made them." But Noah found favor in Adonai's eyes. Adonai caused the chaos of the flood to reset the world. because the world had become evil in his sight. He reset the world, repopulated the world through the animals and Noah on the ark. And even in the end, chaos still followed. Even in the end, Ham was one of Noah's children. Even in the end, the Canaanites came out to create chaos in the world. Another example, crossing the Red Sea. Chaos used to restore. Exodus 14:23. But the Egyptians pursued and went in after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. Now it came about during the morning watch that Adonai looked at the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud and caused the army of the Egyptians to panic. There was panic. There was chaos. He took off their chariot wheels and caused them to drive heavily. More panic. More chaos. So the Egyptians said, "Get away from the presence of Israel, for Adonai fights for them against the Egyptians." The Egyptians were thrown into chaos as a way of restoring freedom to the Israelites. Their wheels came off. They couldn't move. They were bumping into each other. They were just confused. There was chaos going on in the midst of the Egyptians that was not happening, not that far away, for the Israelites. They were close to the chaos, but they were not part of it. That's what we need to be too. We can be close to the chaos. Doesn't mean we should be part of it. It doesn't mean we should allow it to surround us. It doesn't mean that we have to live in the chaos itself. Just because it's close doesn't mean you were invited. Know it and separate yourself from it. Now, number six. Know that we must be people of prayer who ask for help. Ask for help. Ask for God's help. He will. He never called us to be islands all by ourselves. He never called us to be created and walked away from us. He's always near us. How close is He? He put the Ruach inside each of us. That's how close He wants to be to us. He's near for us to call on. And this should give us great comfort from all our anxiety. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says this: "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the shalom of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Messiah Yeshua." The shalom of Adonai surpasses all understanding. In other words, you may not understand the peace that Adonai wants to give you, but it's yours when you pray and petition Adonai with thanksgiving. The chaos of the world looks to push us into anxiety. That's where he wants us. That's where Satan wants us to be anxious, to have our eyes fixed on the chaos instead of the Lord. Shalom is the thing we need the most when we're anxious. You may think that you need something else. You may think, I need a different car. You may think I need a family who's not fighting all the time. We've all been through that. But what you really need is the shalom, so that when the chaos is going on around you, you have the peace. Look for the peace first. Then the plans of Adonai start falling into place. Look for the peace first, and then the plan of Adonai will lead you out of the chaos. The prayer could be as simple as, Adonai, I don't know how it can be, but please give me shalom in this situation. Many people want to go into prayer, Adonai, this is what I need, this is what I want, here's how you should do it. It doesn't work most of the time because your ways are not His ways. His ways are above our ways. So I will gladly leave the situation up to Him. Or at least I hope to. I know I still have those grabby hands that want to hold on to things, but I try to release as much as possible. And through the Ruach, all things are possible. So number 7, we've gone through Yeshua, Adonai is Lord. We know that nothing separates us from Adonai. We know that we're citizens of heaven, not of earth. We know that we're not in control. He is. We know that Adonai uses chaos to reset and restore. And we know that we must be people of prayer who ask for His help. And finally, the last point, we know we must be people of righteousness. Every other point points to that. All those other 6 kind of points us to, we need to be people of righteousness. Because with righteousness comes shalom and answers. Isaiah 32:17 says this, the result of righteousness will be shalom, and the effect of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever. My people will live in a peaceful place, in secure dwellings, quiet resting places. Shalom, which obviously can be described as quietness and confidence, is the product of righteousness. Now, that doesn't mean that that chaos is going to disappear. It's still going to be around. But due to your righteousness, you'll be able to handle the situation because you'll be in peace. That's why Yeshua says in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There's nothing light about the yoke of chaos. Nothing easy about the yoke of chaos and distress and anxiety. It weighs us down. It keeps us from rising up with Him. This is why Yeshua tells us to put that yoke off and put His yoke on. His yoke is much lighter. His yoke is not really a burden at all. People will look at it and say how burdensome it is, but it's because they don't know the law and the joys of living within the law. His yoke is one that's easy to rise up with. You know, in this world, you will have a yoke. Everybody has a yoke. It doesn't matter who you are. The most carefree person has a yoke. And there's only two yokes. It's the yoke of the world, or it's Yeshua's yoke. Those are the only two. Everybody has a yoke. And you need to make a decision which yoke you will wear. The one where the world is chaos, or the one of Yeshua that's light. So often, we're confronted with chaos as our initial reaction for many of us is to curse the chaos. Something happens and you will curse it. And when we curse the chaos, what are we really doing? We're preserving the one who brought the chaos. Your curses do not end chaos. In many ways, it stirs it up. It adds to it. It increases its power over you. Too often, we don't perceive who it is that's bringing the chaos. It's really Satan and his minions who bring the chaos. But what do we see? We see the person who's in front of us, who Satan is using at the moment. And I hate to say it, but it could be anybody. It could be your neighbor. It could be your boss. It could be your spouse. Doesn't mean they're evil. It just means at that moment, they're being used to preserve chaos. Satan is pulling strings, even to the ones we love, to bring chaos. The better course of action would be, don't curse the chaos. Or don't be put off by it when it's all around you, but instead, rejoice in the light, because there's always light around. God is always around. Yeshua is always around. The Ruach HaKodesh is as close as within your heart. Pursue that light. Don't go around cursing the chaos. If you're having trouble seeing the light, go in prayer to the one who is the light. If you're having trouble doing that, go to someone who is in the light currently and get words of encouragement from them. There's always light in the world. If you tell me that there's no light in that situation, what you're telling me is God is not in that situation and God can't handle everything. And that is not true. That just is not true for any of us. God is in every situation and can handle every situation. All you need to do is turn to Him and allow Him to have that situation over your life. There's a reason for chaos in the world, but it's not for you. You were not created for chaos. Adonai is going to use that chaos for something. Let Him make the decision what to use it for instead of you trying to drive it. Let Him be the light to cast out the darkness in your chaos. That's His job description, not yours. Father, we thank You that You are the light. We thank You that You cast out chaos and darkness and illnesses and confusion and all the things that are just what we perceive as chaotic around us. We thank You that we can turn to You and see who You are, to see the results of who you are. We thank you that we can know who you are. We can know that you are Messiah and you are the light. We thank you that nothing separates us from you, regardless of how much chaos is running through our life at the time. We thank you that we are citizens of heaven. And though we may be here on earth right now, it does not mean that we belong to the earth, but instead we belong to your heaven. We belong in your presence and will be in your presence for all eternity. We thank you that you're in control and not us, because your ways are over our ways, and your ways are always perfect, and your word is always yes and amen. We thank you that you use the chaos. Help us to allow you to have your way, to use that chaos. We thank you that you hear our prayers when we ask for help, even within the chaos. And we thank you that you've given us ways to be righteous before you. Through the blood of Messiah Yeshua, we are cleansed and become righteous before you. Father, we just ask that by the Ruach HaKodesh, you help us to control our anxiety, control our desires to put our hands around the chaos. Because though we may desire to put our hands around the chaos in order to control it, all we're really doing is getting our hands dirty. We're not really controlling it. We're just getting dirty and being mixed into the chaos itself. So, Father, we thank you that you control it all. We thank you that you have a reason for it all. We just ask Ruach HaKodesh, help us to have the peace when we're among it, but not within it. We thank you in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen.